Amen. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody who's here in the tabernacle. Good morning, everybody who is participating via Facebook or via YouTube. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'd like to welcome all of the Taylor Tabernacle family, for visitors, for those friends that you've invited that are participating online. We are happy that we are able to celebrate the Lord together this morning. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Our pastor is Jonathan E. Ford, and he will be delivering a good word for us this morning. Amen. 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 So since we are starting a Sunday of celebration unto the Lord, we are going to open up in prayer. So if you are at home, if you would stand, if you're in the sanctuary, if you would stand, if you can, let us pray unto our Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day that you have made, O Lord. We thank you, Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, for making the doors of this church open. Thank you for making sure that your preached word, hallelujah, would be delivered from this pulpit. For we need a word from you, O Lord. We need a word. Speak some peace into our life this morning. Speak some comfort into our life this morning. Hallelujah. Touch us right now, O Lord. We thank you for all that you have brought us through. We thank you for providing for us in the midst of everything that's been going on in this world. We glorify you, Christ Jesus, for bringing us together for another Sunday. Thank you, O Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, O Lord. Bless the pastor right now with your word and feed it to us this morning. Write it on our hearts this morning so that we would have a word to hold on to that will carry us through this week and allow us to return, hallelujah, and get more of your word. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, Christ Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. We thank you, O Lord, for bringing us together this day. In the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and in the name of the precious Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. So, the next thing up is going to be our scripture reading. If you're at home and even in sanctuary, if you could turn to 1 John. I'm going to be reading from chapter 5 in 1 John. Same thing. If you are able to stand, honor God's word, please do so. Amen. So we can hear what thus saith the Lord as he prepares the atmosphere. Amen. Amen. 1 John, I'll be reading verses, 1 John 5, I'll be reading verses 1 through 5. Amen. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Now, the next part of our service, we are so blessed that Sister Barbara Williams is here this morning to join us. She is going to bless us with a musical selection. And then after that, we will greet our pastor and hear the word that the Lord has prepared for us. Amen. Amen. Amen.
And everything. Amen. Can you hear me now? Amen. 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 This is all new to me, so you all bear with me just a minute. Amen. Amen. But this morning, I just want to bless you because of who you are, Lord, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I lift my voice just to say, Lord, I worship you just because. For no other reason, because you are God, because who you are, I give you praise. If you can draw a breath this morning, you should be giving God glory this morning. Hallelujah. 400,000 people didn't make it. 400,000 people in the United States. We're not talking about the world. We're talking about the United States of America. 400,000 plus people did not make it. But he's kept us. We can stand here and give him glory this morning. And I dare you at home to give him praise this morning. Put that fork down and stop eating those pancakes. Stop drinking that cup of coffee just for a minute. But because of who God is, I dare you this morning. I double dare you, as we used to say as children, to give him just a little bit of what he is due. Amen. Amen. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Jehovah Jireh, you're my provider. Jehovah Nissi, Lord, you reign in victory. Jehovah Shiloh, you're my Prince of Peace, and I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Jehovah Jireh. Everybody in the sanctuary joins. My provider. Jehovah Nissi. Lord, you reign in victory. Jehovah my Prince of Peace, and I worship you because of who you are. Jehovah Jireh, you're my provider. Jehovah Nissi, Lord, you reign in victory. Jehovah Shiloh, my Prince of Peace, and I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are, and I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Hallelujah.
Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on, come on. Come on, let's worship Him because of who He is. Come on, let's worship Him because of who He is. Come on, let's worship Him for what He's done. Come on, come on, come on. Let's worship Him for what He's going to do. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Nissi, El Shaddai. Good God, good God. I feel that same anointing. I feel that same anointing. Lord, we worship. Abada, Lord, we worship your name. Hallelujah. Your power, your might. Your glory, oh blessed be the name of the Lord, our God. Woo! Good God, good God, good, yeah. Woo! We having church. I don't know what you're doing at home, but here at the tabernacle, we're giving God the Woo! Woo! Yes! 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 Woo! Yes! Yes! He's my Jehovah Jireh, my Jehovah Nissi. Woo! Good God, good God, good God, good God. My, 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 my. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, my, 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 my. Woo! Yes, I will. Yes, I will. Oh, yes. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord God shall be praised. Woo! Oh, good God!
my. Oh, my. Woo! Tell you, that devil better get out of here while he can. Woo! Yes. The Lord is our inheritance. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, bless his name. Bless his name. Bless his name. Bless his name. Yes. He's moving by his spirit. He's moving by his spirit. That's why we don't have to be in the same physical place. As long as we are in the same spiritual place. And that place is in Christ Jesus. We have been baptized into his death. We have been baptized into his resurrection. And when he comes again, we'll meet him in the air. We'll meet him in the air. That same baptism. That same anointing. We'll be just like him. Oh, bless his name. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. We thank Sister Barbara for coming. Thank her for stirring the Spirit of the Lord, both in this place and in our hearts. Before I get into the Word of God, I do just want to comment and say that your reaction and your response to the message on last Sunday has been quite unbelievable. The number of phone calls, voicemail messages, text, email, social media post has been quite shocking to me. And one, I want to thank you for it. I really appreciate your response. Helps confirms for me that the Holy Spirit has me going in the direction he wants me to go. And I thank you for that, because again, as I mentioned on last Sunday, I had such difficulty in preparing that message. What I also want to say, your feedback has been helpful. A number of you in conversations with me, they said, Pastor, great, stirred by the word, love it, all that. They went on and on, gave their testimonies. Some were shouting on the phone while we were talking. It was just going crazy. But a lot of folks said, Pastor, you didn't tell us what we're to give, how to give, all that other type of stuff. So I just want to address that briefly at the outset before we go any further. So one, some folks ask, you know, how much is it going to cost? So Reverend Radcliffe has estimates ranging from $45,000 to $65,000 for all of the work to repair the residence at 6048 Osage. So that's what we're talking about, right? And those estimates are literally from 2 years ago, because obviously we didn't do anything last year. But so it just gives us a ballpark. It's not an exact, but that's what we're shooting for. Anywhere from $45,000 to $65,000. Folks ask me, Pastor, how should I give? I said, one, in terms of what you give, how much you give, remember what I said last Sunday, remember what the Word of God said, it's as you purpose in your own heart to give, right? So whatever you say, Pastor, for that work, for that, for what we need to get done, this is what I'm going to give, right? So you set that, you know, that's not for me to, that's between you and the Holy Spirit. How you can give it, I tell folks you can give in one or two ways. If you want to give a one-time offering, say, Pastor, I'm just going to, whatever, I'm giving this amount of money just one time, you know, outside of my normal giving. So if you want to give it one time offering of $2,500, $5,000, or $10,000, just boom, put this for the work that the church is doing, you can do it that way. Or you can just increase your giving in your normal giving cycle. Some of you give weekly. So if you give $100 weekly, you may say, you know what, Pastor, this is what I'm going to give to the ministry. I'm going to give $200 weekly. Here's my regular $100, and from this year, I'm going to give an extra $100 for the work that we have to do across the street. Okay? So you can do it that way, and likely if you give twice a month or once a month. Okay? What I have done on our side, I've instructed Deacon Abrams, no matter what comes in this year, we're only taking out the bare minimum to keep the church operating, keep the lights on and put heat in here on Sunday, whatever the bare minimum. And then everything else is going for what we have to get done. Everything. I said, if it's just a penny over, take it and set it aside. So how you give, whether you put it on your tithe line, your church line, if you put it as a sacrificial offering, however you do it, if you're giving by mail, if you're doing it through text or online, you just give it. Like I said last Sunday, you want to get your seed in the ground, right? So start this month, start next month. Get your seed in the ground, and I believe the Lord is going to bless you. Someone asked me in terms of timing. We are going to start in the middle of the summer after the 4th of July. So Lord willing, either by the mid-July, early August, we want to start the work. All of the contractors are estimating anywhere between 4 to 8 weeks to completely renovate that building from top to bottom, basement to the roof. Okay. So again, you've asked these questions, so I'm trying to answer them for all of your benefit. Instead of me just answering one-on-one, said, hey, other folks are probably thinking the same thing. So that's what we're talking about. So that's when we're looking to begin. That's how much it's going to cost as an estimate. Again, you can give one time. You can give multiple times. You can increase your giving. And then lastly, folks have even asked me this, and thank God for this. Others can give to this work. Okay? Family, friends. So if they're asking you what's going on with the church, you can let them know. And yes, you can invite them to give. Okay? So others can give, and they give by the same way. Either texting, going to our website, or they can give by mail. Okay? So again, I hope I've answered all of the questions that came in during the week. And if I haven't, please just, you know, reach out to me again and let me know. Amen? Okay, good. Now you have that. Now we can move our attention to the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, go to the Gospel of St. Mark. The Gospel of St. Mark, beginning at chapter 1. The Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 1, verse 1. If you haven't, I am going to invite you to stand with me. I know you're tired from shouting and dancing, moonwalking and cabbage patching. But if you could stand one more time in honor of God's word. Both this Sunday and next Sunday, I'm going to be preaching about the ministry of John the Baptist. Okay? And this particular Sunday, I'm going to be using as a subject John's job. John's job. Are you with me? Here it is, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness, and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And then all the land of Judea, those from Jerusalem, went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Amen. May the Lord bless and consecrate his word, both in your ears and in your heart. Holy Spirit, we invite you to do now what only you can do. Take these words off of these pages and write them upon the fleshly tables of our heart, that they might be words by which we live and honor God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our collective prayer, and we ask it for the glorification of your Son, and in his name, amen. You may be seated all over the church. This Sunday, we're talking about John's job. That first verse says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If you're taking down notes, I want you to take this down. It's very important. And it is the key to unlocking today's sermon. Okay? So you can't take a nap at the beginning of the message and just wake in and get in on the end. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This statement is best viewed as the title for Mark's letter. The historical record of the gospel message of Jesus Christ begins with John the Baptist, not Jesus Christ. The whole sermon. If you miss that, you might as well go back to sleep, because you're not going to get the rest of it. The whole sermon is in that one verse. The historical record of the gospel of Jesus Christ began with John the Baptist and not Jesus Christ. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his paths straight. I want you to look at verses 2 and 3. And in your own Bible, you're here in the sanctuary and you have a church Bible, don't write in these church Bibles. You got your own personal Bible. I want you to underline these two words, before and prepare. Before and prepare. As you do that, you will notice that the word before is used 3 times. And the word prepare 2x. Before, prepare. One of the things they taught us in preaching class, as we studied to minister the word, or just in your own reading of the word, they always said, pay attention to repeated words. They're repeated for a reason. Before, prepare. John's job was to go before Jesus and to prepare the people to receive him. That was John's job. That's the service. That was all John was called to get out before Jesus and prepare the people for Jesus. Look at somebody and say, that's John's job. That's his whole ministry. John's ministry was to call Israel to repentance in preparation for the coming Messiah. That was John's whole job. Called from his mother's womb to go before and to prepare the people for Jesus Christ. Verse 4, John came baptizing out in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. John came baptizing and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remissions of sins. The before we get it and we understand it because John the Baptist was born before Jesus, 6 months. John the Baptist, his ministry began before Jesus' public preaching ministry began. John was the premier preacher, not Jesus. John was the one all the people were going out to the Jordan to hear first, not Jesus. John the Baptist. Why? That was his ministry. To go before Jesus. What? To make his path straight, to prepare. So John's job of going before and preparing the people, he accomplished it by doing two main task, preaching and baptizing. That's John's job. That is how John fulfilled his job description. He did it by preaching and baptizing. And regardless of which assignment he operated under, it was always the same message. Repent for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins. So whether he preached in the wilderness, whether he baptized in the Jordan, John always preached the same message. Repent, repent, and be baptized. Verse 5, and in conclusion, then all the land of Judea, Jerusalem, they went out to him and all were baptized by him in the Jordan while confessing their sins. All those who responded to John's preaching and received his baptism had to confess their sins as an outward sign of their willingness to repent. If you received John's preaching and went down to the Jordan to receive his baptism, John would not baptize you unless you would audibly with your mouth confess your sins. Then John would take you down and bring you up. He did it by preaching and baptizing. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. Godly sorrow. John took you down after your confession and a witness of your godly sorrow. Follow what I'm saying? Not just I'm doing it because he did it. Well, I'm coming down because she, no. Something about John's preaching stirred their heart and convicted them of their sins such that they were willing to give an audible expression of faith in the coming Messiah. Look at somebody and say, that was John's job. Now, I'm going to put an addendum on this message, and you stay with me by faith. Someone else had John's job before he did. Someone else had John's job before. And I can prove it. Luke 1:7 says this concerning John the Baptist. And he will also go before him in the spirit and in the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. It was said of John the Baptist that he came in the same spirit and power of Elijah. The anointing that was on Elijah was the same anointing that rested on John the Baptist. John the Baptist had the same anointing and the same ministry call as the prophet Elijah, which was to again call Israel to repentance in preparation for the coming Messiah. Now, I want you to get this. Many people in John's day missed it. They missed it. Although Malachi prophesied it, Malachi 4:3-4, he prophesied the coming of one like Elijah, but they missed it. And so they didn't recognize John the Baptist and consequently failed to recognize Jesus. Am I talking to anybody? But don't you make that mistake. We've got the witness. John comes in the New Testament with the same anointing that Elijah had in the Old Testament. And they both had the same job, to call Israel to repentance in preparation for her coming Messiah. Are you with me? If you got it, say I got it. Here it is. Now try this, and I'm going to really test you now. Elijah came before John. Now I want to let you know, not only did someone have John's job before. See, that's why I like the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost will just give it to you. A couple of y'all done got the message already. I can put the mic down. Just like someone had John's job before, someone else now has John's job after. Just like Elijah was caught up, unfortunately, John the Baptist was beheaded. And it left a job opening. I wish I had a real church. My real church would say, Pastor, give me that mic. Go somewhere and sit down. I got the message. Elijah had John's job before, and now God has saved and hired someone to fill John's job after him. And I got a witness. Here it is, Matthew 28:19. You know this. Go ye therefore and make disciples out of all nations. Watch this. John's job just covered Judea and Jerusalem. But this new job applicant is to make disciples out of all nations. How is he going to do it? By baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and to help you with your job. I'm going to remind you, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
It is now the church's job to preach, teach, baptize, so that many will repent, confess, and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That was John's job. That is now the church's job. We got work. We got work. We got work to do until Christ comes again. Somebody shout yes. John's job is now the church's job to go before and to prepare the world for the gospel, the good news concerning Jesus Christ. So tell somebody, I've got good news. Now this time, I want you to tell them with the same anointing that was on Elijah. So you're going to have to use your good preaching voice. Find somebody in your house and tell them, I got good news. I got good news. I got good news. Jesus Christ died and he rose again. And whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Somebody give the Lord a praise right now. Yes. Yes. It's my job now. It's your job now. Yes. Get out in front. Go before. Prepare the world. Prepare the world. Prepare the world. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Woo! Yes. Tell the world. Share the good news. Tell the world. Jesus Christ died. And he rose again. Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. Tell somebody, that's your job now. Elijah has gone up. John has been beheaded. John's job is now your job. So tell the world that the Savior has already come. Go for it, tell him. Go, 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 go. Woo! Yeah, yeah. My, 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 my. Yes. Yes. I got a job. Yes.
I may not be a pastor. I may not be a preacher. And I may not be an evangelist. But I got a job. I got a job. It was once John. Now it's been given to me to tell the world the good news. The good news. The good news of Jesus. Woo! Oh my. Oh my. I got to get busy. I got to get busy. Yes. 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 Go ye therefore into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost. Yes, I got good news. I got good news. I got good news. And Paul tells us in Romans that if we would just tell the good news, tell the people, if they confess with their mouth, believe in their heart that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the witness says the same shall be saved. John's job was not to save them. John's job was to prepare them so that when the Lamb of God appeared, all John had to say was, "Behold, the Lamb of God." That's the one I've been preaching about. That's the one I've been teaching about. That's the one I baptized you in. That, there he is. Believe in him, and thou shalt be saved. And pass from death unto life everlasting. Church, we've got work to do. Pandemic, economic crisis, social unrest, racism, sexism, all of it does not excuse us from doing John's job. It's your job now. It's my job to tell the world we've got good news. That in spite of the pandemic, in spite of the economic crisis, in spite of everything that is going wrong in the world, one thing is right. One thing is sure. Christ died for me. He rose for me. He is now in heaven interceding for me. And one day he'll be coming back for me. Here it is, church. But when he comes,
in response to your new job, here's the question. Will he say, well done? He's not going to ask you how many times you came to church. He's not going to ask you how much you gave to the building program. He's not going to ask how many ushers you Sunday per year. My Bible says this. He that winneth souls is wise. You know why the soul winner is wise? Because the soul winner understands, I only get paid for doing my job. Good God, I wish I had a real church. I wish I had a real church. I need to teach this on a Friday night so I can really dig into it. That's all you get paid for. You can't wait till Friday come and say, wait a minute, boss, she was out. I did her job while she was out. And I did his job. No, no, no. You only going to get paid for doing your job. And he hired you to go into the vineyard of this world. And he said, whatever is right, said, that's what I'll pay. We used to sing a song in the old church, payday is coming. After a while. Payday is coming. After a while. And I don't know about you, I just want to hear him say, well done. You got out before me. You prepared the people for me. I'm going to say this and I'm out. This is why I need to do it on a Friday night. But I'm going to say this so you can get it in a real practical context. Most Christians believe if I can get my friends, family, coworkers to church, the pastor can preach them to the altar. That's what they believe. That's what they believe. If I can get them there, the pastor will preach them to the altar and into salvation. And that is an incorrect understanding of how the kingdom of God operates. You do your job effectively and prepare them so that when they hear the gospel message, they gladly say, what must I do to be saved? Watch this. The greater witness is not the pastor or the preacher. The greater witness is you. Because they watch you every single day. Me, they hear me for 40 minutes on Sunday. Look, I can't even convince my own kids to do what I say with 40 minutes on Sunday. How am I going to convince a stranger to do something they don't even believe in 40 minutes? But you know how it works? The Bible says this, let your light shine so that men might see what? Your, not the pastor's good works, not the, your good works. And what? Glory. How do they glorify the Father? By receiving His Son. You do more to bring people to repentance and the acceptance of Jesus Christ than your pastor will ever do. They watch how you live. They watch how you conduct yourself. How you raise your children. How you love your companion. How you're faithful to the church, to the community, those in need. And all of that stuff breaks their heart. It breaks down that outer shell. So that when the good news comes, they're ready. They're ready. You follow what I'm saying? They're ready. By the time I got up to preach, y'all were ready. Why? Somebody went before me. Somebody prepared you before me. The hard work was already done. The witness says some plant, others water, But God gives the increase. So play your part in the process. John's job is now your job. Get out before and prepare this world so that when they hear the good news, my God, they're ready. What must I do to be saved? God bless you, Taylor. The Lord be with you.
Amen, 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 amen. Such a good and precious word. Amen, amen. For those of you who are either in the sanctuary or online have been watching our services and you're wondering, what must I do to become saved? Now, you've just heard it preached to you.
Amen.
And the pastor just given you Romans 10, 9, and 10. But we have a prayer that we would like for you to say. And I'm gonna read it for you. And then I'm going to give you some information where you can reach out to the church. And this is just a sample prayer. But if you seek repentance, you say, Dear Lord, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I am trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that His shed blood, death, and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving and forgiving me from my sins today. Amen. Amen. If you say those words, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Now, if you accepted this call to salvation, we actually want you to contact us so that we can help you. We can help you along. We can encourage you. We can give you words so that you can grow and be saved. Hallelujah. So you can contact us at the church website at www.taylortabernacle.com and go to our Contact Us page and check the box, I am interested in becoming a Christian. And leave us a short message along with your contact information. And someone will contact you. We will contact you to discuss the next steps in your Christian walk. Amen. Also, if you have a prayer request, again, you can visit the church website, www.taylortabernacle.com, and find our prayer request page. Or you can call our church phone number with 215-748-4578 and leave us a message. And just one last thing before I bring up Brother Aaron. If you are seeking salvation, understand this. Don't feel turned away like I'm not where they are. Because I can tell you that myself and everyone here, we're all sinners. We all need forgiveness. None of us are better than you. We're all seeking the Lord in our life. Amen? Amen. I'm bringing up Deacon Abrams. He is going to do our offering.
Amen. Amen. Try this again. Good morning, Tabernacle friends and family. We transition to our giving, and you may give through one of three ways. You can give by text message, give by our website, and also utilizing the U.S. Postal Mail Service. To give by text message, just text the code Taylor61 to the phone number 73256 and you will receive a link and instructions. To give to our website, just go to our website, www.taylortabernacle.com/giving and then follow the instructions. And to give by U.S. mail, please send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19139. And for those of us who are gathered here in the sanctuary, we have two baskets near the side ramp, one for our tithes and offerings, and the other for our preacher of the hour. And as the pastor indicated earlier, you may also start giving towards our renovations of the house, 6048 Osage Avenue. We thank you, And as always, we thank you for your continued support. And at this time, we will turn it back over to our pastor for our announcements. Thank you.
God bless you, Taylor. Thank you for your faithfulness. I know we're a little bit past the hour, so I'm going to do this quickly, but I need your attention. Beginning next month, February, as a church, we will begin each month with a 5-day fast, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. During the 12 hours of fasting, we will increase our prayer time, our reading and studying of the Bible, as well as witnessing to others. During the 12 hours of fasting, we will only drink water. At 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., we will begin and end our time of fasting with a 20-minute devotion with all of us dialing into the church conference line for prayer and scripture. In addition, I am asking for 2 volunteers each month to lead our time of devotion. 2 volunteers to lead us in prayer and in reading of the scripture at both the 6 a.m. and the 6 p.m. If you are interested in being a volunteer for any month, February, March, April, July, August, November, December, any month, or if you have any questions about the upcoming fast, please contact our Mother Mary Radcliffe directly or via our church website. I am excited about what God is going to do in the natural for us, and I am excited about what he is going to do in the spirit through us. Amen? So there you have it. Beginning next month, the very first week, we're going to start our 5-day fast. Again, if you have any questions, send them in over the website. Get in contact with Mother Radcliffe. And remember, we need 2 volunteers for each month. Amen? Shall we all stand for the benediction? Once again, I just applaud you and appreciate you for your attentiveness to the Word of God. I appreciate your commitment to the causes that are before the church, both in the natural and in the spiritual. And I really just bless you. You guys are a fantastic church, and what a privilege it is to be your pastor. Now unto him that is able to keep us and present us faultless before the Father and his holy angels. God, consecrate us. Lord Jesus, keep us, strengthen us, build us up, that we might stand, and having done all to stand, be able to stand anyhow. Go with us today, Lord. Fight for us. Stand up strong in the believer everywhere. And help us to declare your kingdom has come. This is our prayer, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, Taylor Nation. We'll see you next Sunday.